When I was growing up, I did not enjoy going to church. And I have a lot of vivid memories of not really being sure what church was all about. My parents forced me to go to church, and many a times I hid under my blankie inside the car and purposefully had a very quiet time with Jesus. Later, I was very motivated to come to church because we formed an army in the church. Please, no letters. I'm not promoting gun violence. But I'm just sharing my story that I finally got a little bit of motivation to come to church because we formed two armies, and my team would usually win the battles. And so for many years, I went to church because I was serving in my army. Later, once my dad taught me the joy of fishing, I remember asking my dad, do we have to go to church? Because if we go to church, we can't go fishing. And so I saw church as a competition to have fun. And so one day my dad said, even though he was an elder at his church, we're going to miss service and go fishing. But when we had a car accident on the way to going fishing, my dad said, we're never going fishing again on Sunday. My goodness. You know, I think it's not just me as a kid growing up that sometimes is a little bit confused about what church is all about. But I think even as adults, and especially even today, there is a lot of confusion about the question, why church? Why do we have to get up and do this? Why do we have to be involved? Why do we have to give? Why do we have to serve? Why do they always ask, what is your ministry? What is the purpose of all this? Sometimes we'd rather stay hidden under our blankie because the world is a scary place. Sometimes we'd rather just have fun and games to see our friends, as I did being in the army of little toddlers in church. Or sometimes we just want to have fun and go fishing. Over the next couple of weeks, we want to really try to answer this question of why church? What is it? Why do we gather like this? What is God trying to do through what we call the church? So this morning, I just want to give a few quick intro thoughts before we continue our worship in music and worship singing and Holy Communion. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I just want to look at it for a few minutes. And James, I promise to return your blue blankie. He cannot live without that. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. One thing that's very helpful as we spend the next couple of weeks looking and journeying through the book of Acts is that Acts is really a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. In many ways, it's one book, Luke, Acts, written by Luke, the physician, Paul's friend, his mission companion. He was with Paul during Paul's lowest times of his life, being locked up in prison in Rome. He was what we call a second-generation Christian, because though he did not know Jesus personally, he came a little bit afterwards, he knew the original apostles. That was his connection. And what's fascinating, to understand Acts, you have to understand the Gospel of Luke. And the very end of Luke, Luke 24, look what Jesus says as he's walking with these disciples on the road to Emmaus. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And then look at verse 48. "You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then Jesus blessed them and ascended into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. And were continually in the temple blessing God. The book of Acts is referring to the acts of the Holy Spirit. When I first understood that, it started to make sense. You can put up the next picture as we begin to think about what are the acts of the Holy Spirit that now are front and center stage as Jesus ascended and returned to his place with the Father. And so as we journey through this series, which we're calling Church Reborn, we are going to follow not just the disciples or the growth of the church. We'll see those things. But we are going to follow what the Holy Spirit is doing among God's redeemed people. The acts of the Holy Spirit. This sequel is so important. And it shows that in Luke's mind and heart, that as important as the ministry of Jesus, his beautiful, perfect life, his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection is and are, that a sequel had to be told to complete the story. Thus, Luke acts. The prequel, the sequel. Luke is trying to show us a complete picture, not only the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but the acts of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that we will begin to once again be empowered by through the book of Acts, the acts of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything I could summarize, it's this: as we jump into this new series of Church Reborn, the mission of Jesus continues through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through his church. So even though Jesus has ascended back to the Father, over the next several weeks as we look through and journey through the book of Acts, we will see that his mission will continue on through the working of the Holy Spirit among his people. There is a continuity to what God is doing. And so there are four themes that you will see over and over again, recurring themes in the book of Acts. And it's these four things. We will see conversion as God gets those he wants to get. The hound of heaven. If God is wanting to work in your life, he's going to do it, whether you like it or not, because we are stubborn. We are proud. We are runners from God. We love to run away from him. God pursues us. And so we will see the stories of God encounters of some of the least likely to be counted among God's people, people who consider themselves far from God. God is going to pour his love and grace on them. We will see, secondly, the theme of transformation. Once God begins to work in our lives, he does not leave us alone. He will continue to work in our lives, growing us, changing us, fortifying us, transforming us. Third theme that we will see in the book of Acts is relationship building. How do people that normally were once enemies, people of different everything, how do we become family? How do we become community? How do we become friends? And through mission, through evangelism, through what God does among his people, we will see how the kingdom grows. And so these are the four themes that we will encounter over the next couple of weeks as we journey through the book of Acts. The acts of the Holy Spirit, what are some of them specifically that we will see along the lines of these four themes? We will see how the Holy Spirit brings people to faith in Jesus, whether it's the first time or our 100th time, because we are very good at having faith that is often assailed with our own doubts and darkness. Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, will bring people to faith. We will see how he establishes communities of faith called the church. We'll see how the Holy Spirit acts to gift and empower individuals to do his work and will. We will see how he grows and guides the mission. He will show how true unity happens between different racial and cultural groups and unite them as one family in the church. We'll see how the Holy Spirit provides guidance in our decisions as we take the next steps for our lives and for our families. We will see how the Holy Spirit imparts wisdom and knowledge and how he affects change in individual believers and in faith communities called the church. The risen and resurrected Lord Jesus is alive, and we will see how he works among people through the book of Acts. And it will be incredibly exciting as we try to answer that question, what is church all about? Why church in a time of great confusion and this buzzword of deconstruction that so many are engaging in, especially through the pandemic? I end with this from David Peterson, who gave a marvelous study and message through the book of Acts, and I found this very encouraging. Jesus' ascension is essentially the context in which there is a transfer of prophetic responsibility to the apostles with the promise of enabling power to come. With Jesus' ascension back to his Father, the mission of Jesus that he started during his years of public ministry continue on through the Holy Spirit, empowering and gifting and calling us, the church. That prophetic ministry, that responsibility that was given to the apostles, is now given to us. And by his power and by his grace, he will enable us, he will empower us. And so I pray that as we try to gain greater clarity on what is the purpose of church, why church, that as we engage in that question, we will see the theme of church reborn, of God's gifted, anointed, empowered people. The church lives between Jesus' exaltation into heaven by his Father's side, and we await his return. And during that in-between time, the acts of the Holy Spirit continue on in your life and mine through the power of the local church. the risen Jesus Christ will continue to move and act through you and I in power for his glory. And so let us prepare ourselves as we begin to journey through the book of Acts, as we live in a time of great confusion, resistance, deconstruction. Why church? May we, as we go back and visit the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, that God would bring clarity. We will sense his invitation to continue on as his empowered people, and in his power and his spirit, be part of the most exciting and fulfilling thing that a human being could ever experience, to be called a son and daughter of the King, and to be called to engage this world for his power and glory. Instead of hiding under our blankies, we will be protected and loved and nurtured by our shepherd, by our pastor, our Lord Jesus, who gives us comfort and empowers us to move out. Instead of me running around with the guns, trying to find fun in church, we will see God's missional purposes to equip us and call us to serve him and to do great works as we advance his kingdom as his servants. Instead of missing church to have fun going fishing, we will be called to become fishers of men. And so with that, I'm excited to journey together with you through the book of Acts over the next several weeks as we begin to once again be reminded of what and why is the purpose of church. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for the reminder today that in your transformative and profound ministry to the least, the last, and the lost, that mission of recreating a people for yourself continues on as you set people free from the bondage of sin and death. We pray, Lord, as we begin our journey through the book of Acts, that you indeed would allow your Holy Spirit to do the necessary work of bringing faith and freedom and life among all of us who so desperately need it. We are so grateful for the invitation that you give to us all to be part of your kingdom through your body, the church. And so, Lord, in a time of great confusion and people dismissing the church as irrelevant and rather fish than take time and energy to be part of a local church, may you renew us in our vision of what you desire to do through your Holy Spirit as the mission of Jesus continues. So come, Holy Spirit, visit us over these next several weeks. Show us our calling and purpose as Trinity Covenant Church. Align us with your heart and vision once again as individuals and as a church.